morning, everybody. We are in the midst of God doing great things, not only in this church, but in the world. And we're excited about that position. And it is a position and a privilege. And so I want to just encourage you as we turn the corner, turn the season over into almost Christmas time. And as we flip the year, that we understand that he's coming back quickly. And that this positioning process is for a reason. And the process is getting turned up. And what that looks like is a little bit more uncomfortability and a little bit more excavating of the things that are not of God so that he can begin to pour in what is of him. And that often involves an inflation in your spirit. And in order for things to get inflated in your spirit, your soul has to cooperate. The problem is the soul. And as we talk about this today, I want you to understand several things about your mind, your will, and your emotions. They are constantly under assault, constantly. And if you don't think that, just remember how it was when you woke up this morning and how there is an assignment and attack against those faculties because those play a huge part in your ability to follow Christ. I don't care what people tell you, your spirit is willing. It is. But your flesh is weak because you are dealing with a nature that still has an effect on you, and God doesn't just take the nature away. He involves the person in the process, and the person in the process is not perfect and needs work, but God's in it with you, and he sees that you're worth it. And so when you come into a building and you come into our church like this and you understand and see a phrase like we are part of something bigger, it changes your perspective and your trajectory on this is not about me, no matter how I feel about myself right now. I have to understand that there is someone working inside of me who's greater and that he's producing something in me that's going to far outlast when I leave this place. And that means that when I'm getting ready to leave this place, I want to look back at my life and say, I fought a good fight. I fought a good one. I tell you, and I ran a good race. And I'm telling you right now, I'm fighting a good one. I'm fighting a good one. And that means that when you're in the fight, you understand that the reality and the magnitude of the fight, the magnitude, there are things coming from all angles. But the beautiful thing about it is that you're in the fight. Ellen, throw that verse, that saying up for me. It's G.K. Chesterton at the end, please. There's a saying that I want you to put up. G.K. Chesterton said this, Jesus promised his disciples three things. That they would be completely fearless, absurdly happy, and in constant trouble. That's how I feel. There is a constant. Lord, if you don't do it, it's not going to happen. Because not only were you saved one time, but you are in the process of salvation now. And that process is being repeated day after day. And there are things that are being pulled out from you, and you're understanding the surety of the foundation of who Jesus Christ is as those things are being pulled out, because it tests your soil. And so when you profess things like, he is the name above every name, and that he is the one, and there's no one like him, he's the way, the truth, and the life, those things have a way of coming to pass in your life and coming to test you. If you are going to declare who I am and declare my word, then I'm going to allow you to actually walk that in your life so it becomes part of who you are. The problem we have today is that we have a lot of people spouting rhetoric and spouting words, but the word has not bound itself to them. And you can tell when hell breaks loose. Because then you see the effect that the word is having in your life. Because when you can stand in the midst of hell and difficulty and still declare the goodness of God and know that he's good, no matter what happens, then you know that the word is working mightily in you. When tears are running down your face and you can still praise God and say, Lord, you're good and what you do is good, you know that it's working in you. When you say to yourself, I think I'm going to turn the other way or run, but you say, you know what, I'm not going to do that because that's what my flesh wants. My spirit says, stand and stick it out. You know that the word is working mightily in you, and you realize that greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. And whatever comes, I can take it and I can face it because of the power of God that lives inside of me. So you have to understand the power and the magnitude of the power that's inside of you. No matter what lie the enemy is trying to throw at you, you win. Not only do you win, but right now you're victorious. Right now you are. It's not like Jesus is working up to victory. He already is victorious. He's trying to get you to work up into victory in this state that you're in. Jesus doesn't have to do any more work on the cross. That's finished. You have to take up the cross daily and follow him. And that means repeated trips to Golgotha for you. Where you have to crucify yourself, crucify your flesh, crucify your desires, and become like him so that you can see the power of God resonate in your life. And that seems to be the theme that people are talking about, and I sense it even now, the power of God flowing through us. Well, I can't have the power of God flowing through me if I don't understand suffering. We want the glory of resurrection, but don't tell me about the fellowship of his suffering. Because that's not something I want to adhere to. Because when I see him on the cross and I watch movies like The Passion of the Christ and I can't see and fathom or stomach what he did, because in reality, that's the reality of what the cross is. It's not some emaciated Jesus who's blowing kisses at you, saying, I accept everyone, race, creed, and color. No matter what type of sin and compromise they do in their life, I'll overlook it. That's not the God we serve. The God we serve says, I love the world so that I gave, so that whoever would believe in me would not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the bigger picture. But that doesn't mean that your life belongs to you anymore. It now belongs to someone else. And this is the problem we have today in the world. We're taking our lives in our own hands, and we think that our life is our own. And anytime you try to take possession of something that is not your own, there's trouble. Because then you think you know better than the one who actually owns it. But as you begin to take up the cross and follow him, you understand that my life is not my own. I've been purchased with a price. I've been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. So it is my duty, the least thing I can do is present my life a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him. This is my reasonable act of service. That's the only reasonable thing to do. People are looking for that today. Well, what's the reasonable response to what's happening in the world? Present your life a living sacrifice. Don't look for the way out, because the way out isn't the way through. What I'd like to do is I'd like to avoid any type of sacrifice and suffering. This is the mentality of the world right now, because it's uncomfortable, and wrestling with the truth is too much for me to handle. It's too much. But the reality of it is, the truth is the truth, and it holds weight by itself, regardless of if you agree with it or not. The fact that Jesus died for you and that he bought your body with a price does not change just because you're angry or upset. Just because you feel like you've been treated unfairly and that God hasn't dealt with you according to the way you should be dealt with, and actually he has not, doesn't discount the fact that God's grace and God's mercy is still good. So when God has a bad day, he never does. He doesn't change his affection toward you. So when you realize that you have someone who's greater than you and bigger than you, and that this thing is bigger than you, it helps you move through life a little bit differently. But we have a stagnant problem in the body of Christ. We're not moving like we should move. Hebrews chapter 12 is a very familiar verse. We talk about it where, because we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And this is what we have, running the race that's been marked out for us. And so we have a lot of Christians who proclaim to be Christians and they love God and they try to worship God. But instead of running the race and throwing off everything that hinders, they run like this. This is a band that we use for Fit Camp that helps with your stability and helps you with your core foundation. But what happens is that when we try to follow Christ, a lot of people are doing this. I see you, Lord. I see you. And they're not really free because of the sin that's entangling them. So you're trying to walk and do what God's called you to do. I love you, Lord, but I can't let it go. And all it does is it keeps you bound and you can't go nowhere. And so we have a lot of people who are trying to run to Jesus. And Jesus is like, if you would just allow me to cut that thing off, we go somewhere. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. And this is the scripture that when we started the church, we felt like God said, hey, this is what I've called you to do. And this is who you are to me. The Message version says, that's plain enough, isn't it? You're no longer wandering exiles. This kingdom of faith is now your home country. You're no longer strangers or outsiders. You belong here with as much a right to the name Christian as anyone. God is building a home. He's using us all irrespective of how we got here and how many have some stories and what he is building. He used the apostles and prophets for the foundation. Now he's using you, fitting you in brick by brick, stone by stone, with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone that holds all the parts together. We see it taking shape day after day, a holy temple built by God, all of us built into it, a temple in which God is quite at home. And so if God is building his church and you are part of the church, he's making room for himself to be able to work in his church. And you are being fitted in that process. But it's very difficult to be fitted when you're bound. Because God's trying to get you to do one thing, but you're pulling away trying to do the other thing. You know how it was when you were little and your parents tried to dress you up for a special occasion? And we're going to look good today. We're going to comb our hair. And we're going to look really good. And you fought it. You're like, don't touch my hair. I don't want this. This tie's too tight. I don't like the way it feels. And it wasn't a very fun process for you. Also, you can just look good at somebody's party or somebody's special occasion. And you fought it. Fast forward now where God is trying to get you to look good. He's trying to do something on the inside of you so that he can feel at home. And the question I have, does God feel at home inside? If God were to go looking around in your home, what would he find? I'm not talking about your house, but it can be. I'm talking about what's inside. What's he looking at inside? Hey, I need more elbow room in that area. Can I get some? Yeah, but it's kind of mine. No, it's not. It's mine. So we want God to move and we want God to shake, but there are things on the inside that are crowding him out. And we don't realize that God doesn't have to get any bigger. He already is who he is. And so if you're feeling a push up from him, it's because he's wanting to stretch out and get out. And lengthen your branches so that you can bear more fruit. So that you don't stay stuck in soil that is not productive for you. If God says now it's time for another growth season and he's pushing stuff out, just let him push stuff out so that he can do what he's got to do. And oftentimes it has to do with our mindset and our mentality of how we feel about it. Yes, I'm going to walk like this the rest of the service until I'm ready to take it off. Because I want you to know and I want to feel how it is to stay bound like this for a period of time. And so God said, I'm doing something different. And I'm doing something different inside of you, but you got to let me push some things out. And if you don't let me push some things out, you're never going to experience the fullness that I have for you. You won't. Because you'll always think that you know better than I do. And then we'll have this exchange, and eventually I do win. But at what cost? Do you want to get to the end of your life and look back and say, I wish I could have, but I never could get and let go of that one area that God kept punching at because I felt that it was beneficial for me to hold on to it because I knew better. It's like Alex's Whoopi and Mr. Mom. Those of you who were alive and saw that movie with Michael Keaton, his son had a Whoopi. They called it a Whoopi. It was his blanket that he carried around with him all the time. And finally, he got to a point, Michael Keaton got to a point and said, hey, it's time to get rid of this Whoopi. Because you're growing now. And I wonder what Whoopis we're holding on to. We're carrying around with us like this. I got, don't you take that from me. Don't you take it. And all it's doing is slowing down your progress. Because God wants more. And we want more. And we know we want more. But we can't run effectively because we're bound by that thing. And the hardest thing is for you to get past the mental battle is, what is or what if would happen if that thing is no longer in my life? And you have to chase that hole down to, this could happen, but I know who's greater. Because if you can't face the fear of what might be, you will never walk in what God has for you. Never, because you'll always be concerned about that trail that God has asked me to go down. It's too dark. It's not lit. I can't see my way. That's the way God wants you to go. You'll be concerned about that one, and you'll say, I can't do that because I can't see. And that's the problem. Everyone wants to see where they're going. And so the lights have to be on all the time, all the time. Intellectually, I got to know intellectually, I have to know the reason behind why this is happening. And intellectually, the lights have to be on. Until we get an intellectual revelation of what it is, we cannot properly discern the attitude and perspective about what this thing is. And then we cannot make a calculated decision. And we become very stupid in our wokeness. And you don't realize that you're actually not woke. I'll say it another time. You could be so intellectual that you miss out on the reality of life. The reality of life is that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. And so if you're trying to figure out another way to get there, you are spinning your wheels because it all ends up back to the cross. When it's all said and done, every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Save yourself some time. Save yourself some energy. Save yourself heartache. Just save yourself having to go through the throngs of hell in order to get there. But I love it. I never understood being buzzed. I never understood the infatuation with people wanting to get to the point where they were inebriated, where they could not really feel themselves. And wonder what happened the next day. I never understood, why would you want to lose that much control over your own self just for something that's temporary? And I was thinking about this. How God lays out for your life and says, if you will choose this, you'll live. But this is an option. If you choose that, Adam, you'll die. That looks good. I'll take that. And this is what happens in the world today.
That looks good. This is better for me. It's a narrow way. It leads to life, godliness, contentment, faith, hope. But this looks good because it's going to help me feel good. And we have an infatuation with feeling. I just have to feel good because if I feel good, I'll get through it. What will happen is you'll want the same feel over and over and over again until it's satisfied, and you end up digging yourself down into places of, that's where addictions come in, and people get, they get addicted to porn. They can't get out of it because they want to feel what they saw, which is not reality. And we have people living in a fantasy world because they want to feel good. If they would just turn their life over to Christ and say, I know you're the only one who can satisfy me. I know that you're the only one. Listen, I believe in purpose now over pleasure. Thank you, Jesus, for showing me that's fleeting. Why would you want to exchange your strength for something that's fleeting? I don't want to be that far out of control that I don't have my senses. Listen, you're going to need your senses and your faculties to where God's taken you. You can't afford to be inebriated and make a bad decision that's going to cost you to walk years and years in the wilderness. You need to be strong. You need to be steadfast. You need to be immovable, always bounding in the work of the Lord. No matter how much it hurts, no matter what God is doing, you got to be moving forward. You don't have the time to play games and turn the other way. For what? So that you get addicted to something and people got to pull you out of something that you should have not got into because you wanted to feel all the feels? Let me tell you, it's not all it's cracked up to be. I loved girls in high school. I was all about the ladies. I was popular. It's not all it's cracked up to be. Because in the end, when it's all said and done, the only one who satisfied what I needed was Jesus. And if you're here today and you're listening over the internet, get that today. Don't be 50 years old. You don't have to have a midlife crisis. That's the world. Oh, I'm 50. I don't know what to do. Why? It's not attractive when people who are advanced in age, I'm not knocking the age because I'm not bound to it. I'm just telling you it. Who act like kids because they're trying to fill something on the inside of them that's not fixed. And we have people running around like kids, but they're older trying to fix stuff that never was taken care of in their childhood. And now it's 50 and 55 years old, and we have to watch you stripping down on the internet or getting naked on Instagram just because you need some sort of affirmation. If you'll get your life right, it'll change. There should be something about you when you look at that stuff. Lord, by your grace, I'm not going there. We're talking today now. Now we're talking. You need to get to a place where you understand your value and you understand when things come up that are counterproductive or counterintuitive to what you know is truth, that you begin to say, that doesn't attract me whatsoever anymore. There are things right now I look at and I say, that doesn't do it for me. There's a place you can get in God where things don't snare you anymore. But that's getting over the fear of man, which brings a snare. Because we're afraid about what it would look like. Let me ask you this question. When do you remember the fear getting in? You can wrestle with that. When do you remember? This got in. And because that got in, it caused me to do this. And now I'm still dealing with some of that. And it's not to say you're not in process. Everyone is. But the goal is that you're getting better and that you're growing and that bitterness is leaving, that healing is coming, that hope is being produced, that character is being developed, that as you're seeing the truth is setting you free. John chapter 8. Then Jesus turned to the Jews who had claimed to believe in him, claimed, if you stick with this, stick with it, living out what I tell you, you are my disciples for sure, for sure. Then you will experience for yourselves the truth, and the truth will free you. Go down a little bit further in John 8:36. So if the Son sets you free, you are truly free. If you stick with this, not one time. The word has a power to affect generations. Just because God sent up 2,000 years ago doesn't mean it doesn't have power today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when he sends out his word, it's going to come back unto him and bear some fruit. So that means if that fruit is hitting you in the back of the head, keeps coming back, and the Lord says, I'm trying to get you to move forward a little bit, and he's pushing you forward, it's for a reason, because I don't lie. And so my word needs a place so that fruit can be bore. And so I'm looking at you and looking at your heart, and I'm saying, I want to make it there because you're mine. And so if you allow me to keep hitting you, but when I hit you, invite me in, you'll start to see some change, because that's what we want. I want to see change. And God says, well, if you let me in, we'll start seeing some change. I'm afraid of what you're going to find. I already know. It's like someone coming over your house, right? Hey, listen, I'm coming over tonight. I just want to make sure. Hold on. Make sure you come over at 8. You're doing everything. Dustin coming down. How you doing? Ring the doorbell. How you doing? Everything's good. You spent 3 hours cleaning your house, afraid that they're going to find something that's in there. And we do that, right, for people. And we try to do that with God. Hold on one sec. You good? What's up? How you doing? Hey, by the way, I want that one thing. Because when God talks to you, he's talking to you about what's inside and sees what you don't see and what you're trying to hide. You might as well just get it out. You might as well just get it out. Listen, we're not pretending in here. You might as well just get it out. Because if the Son sets you free, you're truly free. Not if your dad sets you free, your father sets you free, your work sets you free. If he sets you free, you're truly free. Not just free, but free indeed. That's the type of God that you serve. Hey, he said, when I do it, there's no doubt. But this is what the cross did. If you press today, I'm a Christian, you are free in him. Positionally, you are free in him. The work now is walking it out. I don't feel free. Why? And that's the question you have to wrestle with. Why don't I feel free? Is there something in my life that's still holding me and I can't move? And God is faithful, and God will tell you, hey, listen, it's because of this. If you will adjust that and let that go and set a boundary there and do this, all of a sudden you'll see, oh, I am free. But it's covered up over stuff. You know the stuff. You know the big blanket that's there. But this is the essence of discipleship, right? Okay, wait. I thought God was going to save me, and then we're going to ride on out. And one day in eternity, we're going to go home, and we're going to celebrate. And God says, yeah, we are. But along the way, guess what? We're going to go through some stuff. But all I want to do is I want to try to get you untangled. The feeling of being loosed far outweighs the fleeting pleasure of being bound. Oh my, I want you to think about this. I want you to think about one of the sweetest things that you've seen or tasted lately. It's crazy that when things start to come into light and God starts to bring healing and the life comes back, that like you're eating chips, you're like, man, these chips are good. You know what I'm saying, right? And you feel life again because you've been about, man, this stuff's good. And God said, if you'll just taste and see that I'm good. that stuff won't matter anymore. And that's where I'm trying to get you. Just taste and see that I'm good. And once you see that I'm good, everything else pales in comparison. But it's about freedom. And I'm not knocking the stuff that people have gone through over the last several weeks, over the last year. It's been hard. It's been difficult. No doubt it's been hard and difficult. But you're here. You're here. You're here now. Okay? Death, COVID, you're here. Cancer, you're here. Was homeless, no longer here. Promotion, job, house, kids, here. Cancer, here. You know, here. Look at that. I'm still here. So that means that God's doing something. I'm running. I feel I'm running now better. I'm running. I'm telling you right now, I'm running better than I ever have run. I'm running looser. I feel good right now. I feel like punching some stuff just in the spirit. I just feel good. I feel that God loosens some things out. I feel really good. I'm like, don't come up. Don't catch me at a wrong time, because you might get like a something, like a faith thing going on. Something's going to happen. You might not going to like it, because I might tell you something you don't want to hear. It's dangerous. Don't come up here now. Don't come up here. Because when you start walking free, now boldness comes. Wait a minute. That's the way it was? No, it's not how it is anymore. I'll tell you what it is. This is what it is. You're this, and this is what I see. I don't remember that you. Well, yeah, I'm free now. You see, a lot of people are getting the bound version of you. You're getting bound. Wonder what the free version will look like. When people actually begin to see who you are, and you begin to see right through them and say, hey, look, no, this is what it is. And so all God's doing is peeling it back. All these things, man, just throwing them off. But guess what? Every time that gets thrown off, there's another one down there. There's another one, right? All right, Lord. And he helps you with that, throws it off again. It's a process, right? That one's off. Very good. Running better. Oh, I see something else. All right, Lord. Okay. Here we go. Same thing. I see you. I do it. Good. All right. You feeling better? I'm just trying to get you to feel better. That's all. And lighter. And so, because what we do is that we carry stuff that's not yours to carry. You're carrying stuff, and God said, I carry the cross. You don't have to carry this. Well, Lord, what does that mean? You don't have to carry that anymore. I died to free you from that. And when that happens, sore. That's what they tell you on the airplane. Hey, listen, you can only bring one carry-on. But make sure it's 3.4 inches by 8. Because, and the liquid, like 3 millimeters, minus 1, carry the 6, all that stuff. Because they don't want the weight on the plane. Because the plane has got, I told you this before, the issue is the plane's got to take off. Once it's in the air, I feel a lot better. But you got to take off, and God's just trying to get you to take off. Once you get past that part, we're going to do this. And that's where a lot of people are right now. I'm just stripping stuff away. There's too many people who are playing bound. We're not calling them to play free. And what that looks like for you might be different for someone else. That means you're succumbing to maybe some generational things. You're succumbing to your own emotion or your attitude. And God said, I'm just trying to play free. Listen, I know you have bad days. He said, I'm not asking you to stay there for years. Oh, Jesus, help us. I'm not asking you to stay there for years. Don't look back at your life and at 30 something happened and you're still mad. You're going to wrestle with disappointment. You're going to wrestle with stuff. But when that comes up, Lord, I release it out to you. I don't want to look back and say, I carried a weight that was not mine to carry and I missed the promised land. And I was supposed to carry that, but I couldn't carry it because I had this, and God says you can have that and carry that if you don't get rid of this. I can't give you new wine in something that's old. So please allow me to do something in your life to get you to walk free. Allow me. This is why we do community groups. It's not an exercise in fun. It's just great to get together and socialize. It's wonderful, but there's a purpose behind it so that you can dialogue about some things that are going on, and it's a tool to get you to move forward. Because not only do we love God, we embrace community. There's power in community. So we do community groups on various levels so that you can connect and get over yourself. That's why we do it. Well, that's not very fair. It's the reality of it. Because unless we do it, people will never come out. You'll come out. We'll come out for a game, though. I'm going to the game tonight, man. It's going to be awesome. I've been to some great games. Nothing compares to being around what God wants. Nothing. Because the Spirit of God is that movement. How do you know? How do you know? And you can all stand to your feet right now. Man, come on up. How do you know that there are things that God doesn't want to do in you in the circles that you're running right now? We don't know that. I'll tell you, there are certain people in here who, unless they stepped out and did what God called them to do, they wouldn't be here today doing the things that they're doing now. There are stories upon stories about people who have denied themselves, said, you know what? I got some stuff going on in my life. I'm going to step out and do it anyway because I believe that God's greater. And then I'm not going to look back over my life and miss what God had for me, all because I thought I couldn't do it. What if you can? I was talking to someone the other day, and this could be your story, looking back over the journey, and say, there are things that I had to do during certain seasons that set me up for what God had me doing now and what God has for me in the future. If I didn't do those things, the doors that were presented for me would not have opened in the right time. Because we often neglect the times of waiting in the times of hardship, because it's not fair and it sucks, to be honest. And it's, but we don't understand in those things, in the darkness, He's making something beautiful. So if we can't understand and appreciate the darkness, it's going to be hard for us to walk in the light. Because, let me put it to you this way. Jesus is not afraid of the dark. You don't have to be either. You don't need a nightlight anymore. Or you shouldn't, right? Some of you are like, well, I still like one in the hallway because if I trip. But really what it is, you know, there are things happening in my house that I don't want to talk about. You have the one who lights it up. So if we can't get comfortable walking in the darkness with Him, we'll never rule and reign in life. Because there are things that God wants to show you in the dark that He can't show you in the light. There's too many distractions. You know how it is when you get overstimulated by something. There's something going on everywhere. There's lights, there's cameras, things are happening. And God says, I can't show you it there, but I can show you in the dark. Because it's between you and I. So when you get out, you can see. And we have a lot of people who are running in distraction. They're running with distraction because they're looking at too many things. There's too many things. It's that news. It's this. We're all over the place. And God says, all right, it's time to go dark. The world has gone dark the last year. Dark. It's for a reason. For a reason. Let me ask you this. And how many of you would say there are certain things that God had to get my attention with, and it didn't often come in times when I could see everything? Okay, a lot of times it was God had to push me aside and take me aside and start to show me some stuff. Okay? Listen, this is what a lot of this last year was. Taking the church back so that the church could see. Because your vantage point is not the way the world looks at things. Your vantage point is up at a high place. That's where it should be. But because we got so comfortable and familiar with the way things were, it was hard for us to see. And oftentimes, and every once in a while, God has to peel it back and get us to a point where we actually can see like he sees, because he's already there. And honestly, you're already seated with him in heavenly places. The problem is, it's covered a lot of times, because we don't realize the warfare that we're in. Warfare. You don't know the warfare you're in. I can tell you stories of people in this room who've battled their life over the last year. And so there are things that we have to really get right in order, if we're going to move into what God has for us to move into. We got to do it. I can't afford, Sharon, another 20 years, 30 years walking around in the wilderness trying to figure out what God has for me. It's time for me to actually start going into the promised land and actually start possessing some stuff. I can't do it anymore. Time's too short. It's too short. I can't miss out on it anymore. And you too as well. You can't do it. And let this be the clarion call today for you to understand that, yeah, the best is yet to come, but time is short. And that if you are part of something bigger and you call yourself a Christian, that it's time to get in line and do what God has called you to do and begin to move forward in the process so that God, yes, can pour a spirit out. And so that when you do get to heaven, when he says it's time, that he does say, well done, good and faithful servant, and that you can actually look back and say, I did fight it. I fought it. I may have lost some stuff, but yo, I fought it. It's not about you winning all the time. Sometimes you don't win, but you fight. That's why we do it. I want to win all the time. That's not the point. You're going to miss the process because of getting better. There are teams every week who go out knowing that we're probably going to lose this game. We're awful. But the experience we're going to get is going to be life-changing, because it's going to help us see where we're at and come back together and move on. Same thing God's saying for you. Listen, if you just go out this week and put feet to faith and do what I've called you to do, there are going to be some things you're going to lose, but in the end, you know you're going to win, and I'm going to show you some stuff, and you're going to go up a little bit higher. Every hand in the air if we could. Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you, God, so much for the ability that you have given us to overcome. We're overcomers today because of what your son has done. Thank you that the cross, it's finished. It is finished. It is done. That we don't have to walk backwards, but we can walk into life. The tomb is empty. The cross is empty, but heaven is full. And I thank you right now that you are helping us walk towards you. And Lord, that you've given us a home that is not here, an earthly home, but we have a heavenly home in you. And I thank you, Lord, that this day will be that day where we make that decision to say, I'm going all the way. Whatever the process looks like, I'm going to do it. Thank you, Lord, for the times of pain and hurt. Thank you for those times where you're excavating and pulling things out and helping us bear fruit. Thank you, Lord, for showing us the true foundation of who you are, that you are the solid rock on which we shall stand, that all other ground is sinking sand. Thank you, Lord, that the sinking sand has no hold on you, has no hold on us. Lord, death doesn't have a hold on us today. No death, no devil, no thing, nor thing, nothing. Every person who's entangled in here today, thank you for the faithfulness of your spirit to loose them. Lord, you see every hand up, you know hearts. Things that people are fighting with and dealing with. Thank you for the strength to help break things off and let things go. Thank you for physical healing in this place. Bodies that have been broken that you are restoring back now. Thank you for mental faculties being restored now. Clarity being restored now. Joy being restored now. Hope being restored now. Thank you for all that, because you are the resurrection and the life. All those things that are coming back that you're helping us take back. Thank you for helping us take back our lives, Lord, and giving us another chance to walk with you, to take back perspective, to look at our life, to know that it's good to be alive. It's good to be able to praise you. It's good to be able to stand in difficulty. It's good to be able to stand in trial. It's a good day. Thank you, God, that you've given us the grace for this day. Lord, those that are struggling and wavering, Lord, change their perspective. Show them the vantage point of how they're looking at things, God. Strip away things from their life that don't need to be there. Help them, God, to lean on you. And as they lean on you and not their own understanding, You're going to direct their path. That the latter days will be greater than the former. They will be. There will be. There will be. No age, no limitation, no thing, no created thing, no scheme of the enemy is going to stop what you plan and design for them. Thank you right now that you're getting ready to unleash your church, that your church is getting ready to come up higher and do the things that you've called them to do. Thank you, God, for elevation in this house, elevation in this community, elevation in your church worldwide as you get ready to come back for a bride without spot or blemish. Thank you for raising us up like trophies of grace for the world to see that these are my kids and I love them and I died for them. Thank you for a new level of power, new level of understanding, a new level, God, of might to do the things even greater than you did. Thank you, God, for the shackles falling off the feet of the people that walked in this room. Thank you, God, as we walk out of here, we're going to walk out different. We're going to walk out doing what you called us to do because we know who we are. And God, we know whose we are. We are yours. We are blood bought. We are your children. We are your kids. And yet the enemy does not have a hold in us. Thank you for the authority that we have in Jesus' name to cast down strongholds in every imagination. Thank you that what once held us cannot hold us anymore. Thank you that who the Son sets free is free indeed. And as we run, that we're going to run and not grow weary. We're going to walk and not faint. And we are going to soar and do the things that you've called us to do in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen.